changes people in ways that no one else can. It doesn't matter what you have done or what sins you have committed. God washes them all away. KJ Bryan. Welcome back to Glory Talk with Kiki. Welcome, 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 welcome. If you are new, I'm so happy if you are here. If you're just returning, welcome back. I hope you guys had an amazing week last week and this week too. My week was pretty stressful, but you know, when is it never stressful? It's always going to be stressful. There's always going to be low waves, high waves, medium waves. It's always going to be, it's always going to be a lot of things going on. I have a lot going on because I am pretty busy, school, work, interactions with church, and my own personal things. So there is always a lot going on in my life. I'm just praying everyone's doing well. Everyone's just being who they want to be, being what they want for themselves. So I just, hopefully you guys are doing great. If you are, that's good. If you're not, it's okay. It's going to get better. So today we are going to be talking about never stop being yourself. I will explain why I chose this topic for today. I was on the phone with a group of my friends. We usually have like a Bible study once in a while. Or we just get on the phone, get on FaceTime just to catch up on each other, just to update each other about what's going on in our spiritual lives and what's going on in our actual lives and all that stuff. You know what group of friends usually do and all that stuff. And the subject of baptism came. And one of my friends, she said that her pastor denied her from being baptized, and that happened to me. Actually, my pastor had not, he didn't deny it, but he sugarcoated it, which means he denied it. Y'all know what I mean? Like they try to sugarcoat something. They be like, like they're not sure. And they're not sure that they want to do it, so they add excuses on top of it. And I was telling her that no one in their right mind, no one has the power to deny your baptism. And not even a pastor has, you know, that power. And I was telling them, I was just like, you know, what was the verse? It was Matthew, when John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come, he was telling people in Matthew 3, verse 2. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepared the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" And I was telling them that it doesn't matter what you have done in your past. God knows your heart. And a human won't know your heart because, I mean, true, the heart is deceitful. But, you know, if someone's coming to you with a big gesture like that, you should take it serious. You can't tell them that they couldn't do it. And if you're a pastor, you should be ashamed. I get it. Maybe she might be young. But God calls people of all ages. God calls people of all nations, of all ages, of all nations, of all ethnicities, to serve him and do what is right. You have no right to tell someone that they are not ready to be baptized. For me, it took a toll on me because I have been through so much, and my pastor had the audacity to tell me that, okay, just because I have a nose piercing and my ears pierced. And, you know, my attitude is a little bit, because I do have anger issues, which I am working on. But he's like, I can't do that. It's just not, you know, the church is going to look at me some way. What do you mean the church is going to look at you some way, you know? And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it. I'm just like, my church is about status and it's about image. You have to look a certain way. You have to be a certain way in order to do what is right. And that is completely wrong. Because the heart is deceitful and your eyes are deceitful. Those two things are contrary towards the word of God. And I wanted to sit down and tell my pastor that. But, you know, like I said, I am Haitian, you know. I am Haitian. So those type of things, it doesn't work like that. For them, that just doesn't make sense. And it made me very upset, because people work so hard just to get somewhere. And there's always going to be a blockage. It makes sense. It does. But, you know, when my pastor had told me that, you know, my parents were feeling the same way, that, you know, my nose piercing is stopping me from being the person that I want to be. But in my head, I'm like, I'm never going to stop being myself for you. I had to change myself, because what I was doing before wasn't working out for me, because I kept doing what everyone else wanted me to do. I kept doing everything else that my parents wanted me to do. My family members, yeah, you need to walk a certain way. You need to talk a certain way. You need to be in your word. You need to stop hanging out with those friends. You need to do those things, which some of them is correct. Some of what they were saying is correct. But when it comes to my personality and who I am and how I worship God and how I do things, I can't never change that for nobody. I can't never do that for nobody, because it just takes out the whole point. You know what I mean? What is the whole point of you putting God in the center of your life and you letting people at that tell you that you need to change who you are? I understand I have a piercing. I know it's bad. But I'm not going to allow what everyone else thinks about me change how I look and change the way that I think of things. So that is one of the reasons why I chose this topic. I was going to do this last week, but I wanted to get the other one out the way, because that one was pondering my heart much more. But this one, it's heavy, because I know that I'm not the only one struggling, especially as a young Haitian woman, upcoming adult, you know. It's so common that churches and parents and other people want to change their children, change, you know, their children into people that they are not even, you know, people that they don't even want to be, people that they don't like. Just for them to, you know, backfire. I wanna look at another verse to add on top of the first verse. It's going to be John 12. This is when Mary was talking to. This is when Mary anoints Jesus. This is when, you know, she pours the perfume and on his feet, and she wipes it with her hair. I'm going to start at the first verse. 6 days before, if y'all got it, y'all got it. John 12. Reading English Standard Version, and this is verse 1. Of John 12, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of the reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive perfume made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, he said, "Why was this anointment not sold 300 money denaro? I don't know. I know that's money. And gave to the poor." He said, "Not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he was in charge of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it." Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of the burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." So, y'all, I can't read whatsoever, but it's okay. But I chose this verse because, you know, at this time, everybody, Martha, which was her sister, she was complaining about, you know, her sister, you know, her sister was preparing everything for her, you know, while Jesus was, you know, talking at the table, all the stuff they were eating, you know, just celebrating. Martha was upset, and, you know, Judas Iscariot was like, "Yo, like, why is she doing that? Like, we could have spent that money, and we could have had that money to ourselves," being the greedy person that he is, letting the love of money get in the way of what truly mattered. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. But I wanted to talk about Mary, how she humbled herself, even though her environment was toxic, even though her environment was against her. She kept her mouth shut and she kept being herself because she knew that Jesus was in the room and she knew that Jesus was in the center of her life. She knew what she had to do. She knew who she was and she didn't care about what anyone else had to say about what she was about to do and what she did. She humbled herself, and that's something that I feel like, you know, as a Christian, even myself, that I struggle to do, and a lot of other people do, that other people can't do. Like, they humble themselves just to relax, just to lean back, because you know that God got you. Knowing that, you know, sometimes your whole environment is toxic. It's like a wasteland, and you feel like you're like, you know, balancing on a thin rope. But you need to understand that God is in the center. And I know someone's going to ask me this question. How do I be myself? How do I never stop being myself? It's for me, I also wanted to say loving yourself as well. Because that's a great one as well. If Jesus is not in the center of your life, you will go to the world and get the same result about how to love yourself or how to never stop being yourself. But when you do have Jesus in the center of your life, you will not only learn how to love yourself and be yourself, you will learn to forgive people because he had forgave you. You will learn how to love people because he had loved you. He gave his only son and died on the cross for you out of love. He knows who you are. You weren't made yet, but all those things were out of love. You learn how to give people grace because he has given you grace. You learn that your circumstances don't mean anything, because he stated that those trials and tribulations will come. It's just building you into the person that he wants you to be. You know what I mean? And you will never understand who you are unless you put God in the center. I'm so strong about that, because you know, you will never know how to not stop being yourself if he's not in the center. Because I remember when I was depressed around this time last year, I was not in my word as much as I am right now. I was like going to the world for temporary pleasures, for temporary solutions. And I kept getting the same result. I kept getting the same thing. It felt like, you know, I didn't know what to do. But then when I started to pray before I went to sleep, when I knew that everything was gonna backfire, when I knew I was having a panic attack, you know, I cried out to God, and everything started to flow in the direction that he wanted me to go. And slowly I followed right after, because when God is in the center, he will place you in a position where you won't have to stress. All you have to do is lean back and do what he asks you to do. And that for me is the best part. I want y'all to never stop being yourself. Do not stop being yourself for nobody. I get it. My pastor had the right to tell me that, you know, my appearance doesn't look the way it should. You know, I have a nose piercing, I have a belly piercing, and I have ears, and my ears pierced, you know. But don't ever stop being yourself. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 through 10, it says, "My grace is significant for you, for the power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly of weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I know I got piercings. I know that I used to do some bad stuff in my past, but guess what? It's a part of me now. I learned a lot. I did a lot I shouldn't have done. I did plenty of things that I shouldn't did. But I will boast about my weakness. I will boast about it, because that is me never stop being myself. I know I messed up. I know that I, you know, did some pretty messed up things in the past. But I will never stop being myself. I will never put myself in a position where I will let someone else that isn't God tell me how to live my life, tell me what to do. Because I mean, we have the Bible, which is literally has every verse of what it has plenty of verses of what you could do when you're feeling a certain type of way. I would never stop being myself. I would never stop loving myself. I would never stop putting God in the center of my life, because without him, I wouldn't know who I was. Without him, I would never know that I like to read. Without him, I never knew that I didn't like to watch TV. Without him, I would never have known that the reason why I'm always barefoot, because it helps me with my anxiety. All those things came when I allowed him to position me in the way that he wanted to position me. And I feel like another thing a lot of people struggle with is allowing him to be in control, because I know I do. For sure, I know I do. I know that I feel like I have to be in control of the circumstance, of the problems, of the things that I face. And I was listening to this pastor preach yesterday. Let's see if I could find it. I'm gonna give you his YouTube channel. I was listening to it yesterday. It was so good. I highly recommend y'all listen to it. It was talking about the healing process. And he said that he was talking about our thought process and how that worked. And I want to talk about that one as well, because I felt like God tells us who we are. God most definitely tells us who we are. The one thing that the pastor had said that kind of made me think a little bit more about this one. He said, his wife said that the devil doesn't know the future, but the devil does know habits. And he was talking about the difference between being delivered and the difference between freedom. Deliverance is you being free from something. Freedom is you being free from it, period. Because once you're delivered for something, you're out of the situation. But being free from it, you're done. Like, it's never going to come back. You lived it, you learned it, you healed, you're done. And I feel like for me is the reason why I struggle so much with trying to be myself is because I let the devil, you know, play my head. He likes to talk in my head. He's like, he'd be like, that boy over there, like, you know, y'all like each other. Y'all should do this, do that. I'm like, nope. We flee from all sexual immorality. We flee from it. He likes to tell me that I'm a failure. I'm a loser. You know what you do at those times? You speak word. It is important that you learn scripture, that you memorize scripture, because this is what God tells you. God tells you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the head, not the tail. That you are new in his creation. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Psalms 23, you lack nothing, because he anoints your head with oil. You need to start telling yourself these things, because at the end of the day, we are fighting a battle, not by ourselves, because sometimes we feel like we could fight the battle on our own, and that is completely wrong. Sometimes God already knows that you're fighting a battle. Sometimes the best part is he wants to fight it with you. He's not going to let you fight it alone. Never that. But he will be either with you or he'll be in the center of it. Never allow what the devil has to say about you, because obviously his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. Everything that God says, he switches it around. You speak life into yourself. Don't ever stop being yourself. Always tell yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, no matter the circumstance. That you are the head, not the tail. That you are beautiful. That you are made in God's image. You need to start telling yourself these things. Especially, this is for people that are like me, that, you know, the devil, he likes to remind me of my past. He always does. He always, always, always does. But I have to remind myself that I am not that person anymore. That I am truly, truly, truly not that person anymore. Because that's when I was in the world. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I like to do. I didn't know what books I read. Like books that I like to read. None of that. But now that I'm with God, I have to be more aware. I need to be more aware of how the devil tries to attack me. He likes to attack my head, because he knows that he could get me up there. Sometimes he does. But most of the time, no. Because sometimes, you know what you got to tell yourself? I remember one time I was in bed. No, I lied. I was in a shower. And I had just got out of arguing with my brother, because something, I wanted him to move something. He didn't want to do it. But I was in the shower and I was just contemplating. And I was just like, I'm such a failure. Everything is just going downhill. And I couldn't understand why. I couldn't get it because I felt like I was being the girl that I was when I was a person. I was in the shower for like an hour, probably close to an hour, and I kind of like snapped back into my senses, and I was just like, there's no shame. God is not shame. He doesn't do shame. All of your sins have been wiped away. Once you have been saved, all your sins have been wiped away. Once you know that God has died on the cross, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, all of that has been wiped away. That every time that you tell yourself that, because the devil will try to attack your head the best way that he can. I was in the shower literally contemplating my whole life. Like, I was like, why am I even still alive? But God had to remind me of where I was a year ago, of where I was prior, and how much progress I had made. Don't let anything that you have done get in the way. Anything that you have done get in the way of what is better for you, what is best for you. Don't let yourself go back into that dirty pit that you was in before. Never stop being yourself. Don't ever allow what you used to do get in the way of getting to the higher level, a whole new level, a whole new season of your life. Don't allow yourself to ever get that far. Don't ever. Keep your feet moving. If you have God in the center of your life, keep him, pray to him, allow him to tell him that you want him to keep your feet moving. I pray that every night, because sometimes I feel like giving up. Sometimes I just feel like, you know what, bump that. I'm just going to go back to do what I used to do. It's so easy for you to just be like, yeah, I just want to do that. Get it out the way. Call it a day. But never stop being yourself. Never stop loving yourself. Speak scripture. Speak it to yourself, because no one else will. Because God already tells us what he thinks of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the head, not the tail. We are new in his creation. We are God made. We are beautiful. Everything that we do, everything that we are the best. And you keep working to never stop being yourself. You keep working to do what you want to do. Figure out what you want to do. I don't care if it takes you a year to figure it out. It did for me a year and a half. Trust me, those seasons, they might feel like life sentences, but it doesn't ring forever. I want to pray for people that are just like me, that struggle. I'm going to close this out with a prayer. That are struggling to understand who they are. Struggling to be themselves. Struggling to love themselves because of past trauma. Because they feel like they're still entangled with their past lives, that are struggling with it. I want to pray for you and everyone else that's listening. All right, bow your heads and close your eyes. My Father who's in heaven, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for everything that you have done. There's so many people out here that didn't get to wake up this morning, Father Lord, but you have allowed us to wake up this morning. You have allowed us to be great. I pray that we understand that we are the head, not the tail. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray that they understand that trial and tribulations will come. There will be times where they feel like they can't do it, where they feel like they have to give a follower. But I pray that you understand that we understand that you are with us no matter the circumstance, that we boast about our weaknesses. We boast when we feel low, that the last is always first, no matter the circumstance, that you are here with us. We lean back because we know that you are in the driver's seat. We know that it's not going to rain the whole season, but we know that there is pain after the hurricane, that there is pain. There is greatness after the hurricane, Father Lord. I pray that we understand I pray that the fruits of the spirits are in our hearts, are in our minds. I pray that we give the devil no foothold in lies, because we have no space for him. We have no space for negativity. We have no space for those negative thoughts that those demonish thoughts follow. I pray that those spirits, we remove them in the name of Jesus, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus, that Jesus is inside of us. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. I pray that the Holy Spirit moves us in ways that we cannot understand, Father, because we know that you are in the center, Father. I pray that each and every person learns how to love themselves, how to never stop being themselves in you, that they know that they are new, Father. I pray that everything we do is only glory, only gratitude to you. Thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you continue to do. I pray that you forgive us of our sins, because we are sinners. It is in our nature to sin, Father Lord, but we know that all of our sins have been wiped away. All of our sins have been cleansed away, Father Lord, and everything that you do, everything that you will continue to do. In the name of Jesus, we all say amen. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to my podcast. I love you guys so much. Glory Talk with Kiki is now signing out. Deuces!